and that guy lit down X Hatatio Verbi from Leo Shnei Kosevas.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Vidali Shalmaya.
Dali.
Vidali Shalmaya.
Okay, so again, we're on Chavavim and Beis at the Mishnah, continuing with the issue of Merci Kiyura, just reviewing the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that they brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a Tavshion, and Rabbi Gamliel two Kosavos, two dates, and a Dali Shalmayim, apparently a significant amount of water. Neither of them were having Mizonos or Pas, but they were having these lesser food items. And in both cases, they said, "Helum l'sukkah, take them up to the sukkah. Right, take up these items to the sukkah. Meaning, we don't want to eat them here. We want to make sure we eat them in the sukkah." Ukesh nasnu lo, Rabbi Tzadok. Not low. I think it's properly read. Not low. He took it. So what happened? So the first two mandam we mentioned here in the Mishnah, they were particular to do what? To take their food out, specifically out to the sukkah, even though it was not an achilas keva, it was an achilas arai, and yet they were makba to go out and eat in the sukkah. When it came to Rabbi Tzadok, what did he do? Same type of situation. It was not an achilas keva. It was a mere achilas arai. What did he do? He didn't go to the sukkah. He didn't go to the sukkah. He didn't wash his hands and he didn't bench. Okay, so we discussed yesterday what the issue was regarding the non-washing hands and not the benching. And we said, of course, he did make a bracha rishona. So yes, a bracha rishona, no bracha achrona because it wasn't a kadei sviya. And no netil sedayim because that wasn't required given the fact that the ochel that was being eaten, even though it was a bread-like substance, it was less than a kibetza, which didn't need washing according to this shita. Okay, and the Gemara is bothered by this. The Gemara is bothered because we said previously that if you want to have achilas kava, you need not go out to the sukkah. And achilas kava can be eaten outside the sukkah. So the Gemara questions this Mishnah and says, one second, what's going on here? Is this Mishnah a maisa listar? You bringing this Mishnah to refute something that we previously said, that achilas kava is mutter outside the sukkah? So Gemara answers and says, what?
Maisa listar.
Question. Masa listar?
Chazure
machzura v'hachi ketanim. Right, chazure machzura v'hachi ketanim. This is the answer. No. I say, no, it's not a maisa listar. It's chazure machzura v'hachi ketanim. Really, it's to be read in the following way. We have to sort of ad lib here and read it in the following way. How so? In bala hachmir.
In bala hachmir al atzmo machmir.
Yuhur. Good. So really, we should read this Mishnah sort of as an extension of the previous member. The previous member said that Achil Sarai is permissible outside the sukkah, and this Mishnah comes to sort of qualify, to expand on that ruling. Namely, yes, it's true, you need not eat out, you need not eat Achil Sarai in the sukkah, but if you choose to do so, and you want to be machmir, call a bala hachmir, yachmir latzmo, and what? And there's no concern of merci ke yuhura. And then the Gemara says, okay, and read the Mishnah as a proof to that. The Mishnah is a proof to that ruling that is not merci ke yuhura. Why? Because we see the mice of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel as proof of the fact that it's not yuhura. Why? Because they ate achilas arai, and they were makbet eating the sukkah. So let's read it through. In bala hachmer al atzmo machmer v'les b'mishim yuhura.
U'maze nami ve'aviv ve'aviv lo l'rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai l'dom en hatashil l'rabbi gamlio shnei
Kosavos. Dali Shamayim.
V'omru.
He'olum. He'alum l'sukkah. Right, take them out. Take those substances out to the sukkah. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll stop there for a moment.
I'm not worried about yuhara, but why aren't we worried about Mexican yuhara?
Well, that's going to be a good question. What's the difference between yuhara and Mexican yuhara? It's a good question. Right now, we're assuming they're one and the same.
Wait, what does Mexican mean?
Mexican means it looks like. Remember what it looks like? Right. Chazinon. Okay. So let's take a quick look now. Is everyone clear on the basic shot over here? Zach, you with us? Okay. Okay, let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran, before we get to Brachos, let's take just a quick look at the Ran. The Ran is on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Daf Be'arif. If you have a traditional Gemara, it's on Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, and Daf Be'arif. If you have one of those fancier Gemaras, I think it's on Lamed Aleph, right? In the new Daf Be'arif, Lamed Aleph. Yes. Maisa Sheviyo L'Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. It's the last run on the page?
Yeah.
Yeah? Try Lamed Aleph. Okay. Everyone has a place? Avi Hirschman, you want to read a little bit of the run? Just a few lines.
Maase shaviu Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bigmar parchinan, Maase lister.
Maase lister.
Deha arminan ochlin vishosin arai chutz l'sukkah. So we say that you could eat ochlin vishosin arai outside the sukkah.
Previously, you told me I could eat and drink arai outside the sukkah. Now you bring me a mishnah, which tells me that you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel eating that amount in the sukkah. Isn't this a Maisa Lestar?
Hachi Maisi Uvda, you bring a case, Bemidida Arai.
Right, right after you tell me that. Now you bring this Maisa where they're eating Arai, Hainu Lito Masatavshio, and Shtei Kosovo Vidalisha Mayim, and yet.
Amar Halom Besukkah, and they say they go up to the Sukkah.
And yet they were Makbat eating the Sukkah. That sounds like a Maisa Lestar.
Mifarkina and Asure Metzra.
Chasure Metzra.
Chasure Metzra.
So we answer up, then no, really you have to read more into the Gemara. Chasure Metzra, Vachi Gatani. Im
Ratzel Hachmer Atzmo,
Rashai. It's permissible. If someone wants to be Machran himself, it's permissible.
Klomar Delo Chashiv Kmi She'eno Mitsuve B'davar V'asu
Shinikra. Va'osehu.
Va'osehu Shinikra Hejot.
Stop. So what does the Ran say? The Ran says, you know what the Gemara means? The Gemara answers by saying what? No, chasuri me'achsura v'hochi gitani. Now, in our actual Gemara, what does it say? Chasuri me'achsura v'hochi gitani. That if you want to be machmir, you can be machmir, and there's no problem of what?
Yuhara.
No problem of yuhara. What does the Ran say that the Gemara says? The Gemara says, oh, chasuri me'achsura, v'hochi gitani, that if you want to be machmir, you can be machmir, and you're not called a hedyot. What does that mean? Not called a hedyot. So elsewhere, the Gemara uses that term to refer to someone who does something that he's not required to do. You're not required to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. If you sit in the sukkah when it's raining, you're called a hedyot. Call a potam yidav roseyu, nikra hedyot. So the Ran says, oh, chasuri machzor over here is that if you eat these items in the sukkah, even though you're not required to, you're not called a hedyot. Yeah.
Does that have any connotation to it? Like, is it
it's not a.
Say, oh, like,
no, it's the opposite. It would be a bad thing. If a person's called a hedyot,
that's negative.
It's negative. Yeah. There's some reverb here. Do you know anything
sure.
about that?
Are you somebody on your phone?
I'm not using the phone. Do you hear an echo, Zach?
Slightly, yeah.
How's it now?
I think it's being produced from here and then being put back in the system.
Oh.
Nothing we can do about it.
Okay, nothing we can do about it. Okay, now it's not so bad.
Did we want to record?
So a hedyot, I'm recording. A hedyot is a bad thing, yeah.
What?
A hedyot means...
something greater than you have to. Isn't that more like a yuhara thing?
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. All right, slow. You're asking me a lot of questions. I'm trying to speak to all of them at once. The Gemara says, our Gemara says, you don't have to be worried about yura. Yura, loosely translated, is arrogance. You don't have to look like you're being arrogant. You don't have to worry about being arrogant. This is permissible. So when the Ran learns it up, the Ran says, oh, the Gemara means to tell you that, or the Mishnah means to tell you, the Mishnah is being brought to tell you that if you would do this thing, even though you're exempt from eating the sukkah, you're not a hedyot. It's not akin to sitting in the sukkah when it's raining. It's not similar to sitting in the sukkah when it's raining when you'd be called a hedyot. Now, a hedyot is a person who's like a simple person. He's doing something foolish, doing something nonsensical. We don't say that. So we asked yesterday, we didn't really have an answer for this, why is the Ran using that statement? Why didn't the Ran just quote the Gemara and say, you're not called the Nechzik Yura, you're not called Yura. You're not called a person who's doing something that's Yura.
But there should be a different... I think there's a differentiation between hedyot and yuhura.
That's our question.
Right, where hedyot is someone who is not necessarily aware that he's doing something wrong, but he thinks he's doing something right by going outside and sitting in the sukkah at that specific time.
No, let's say he knows he's potter. Let's say a guy, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but let's say there are people who, when it's pouring rain, they say, we love the sukkah so much, we want to sit out in the sukkah when it's raining. Right? We have a love for the mitzvah sukkah. We can't bear to... We would never sleep there.
So how about this?
We would never sleep in the sukkah, but when it's raining, we'll sit out there, right? We'll sit out there and we'll eat, even though we're not required to.
It's different in mindset.
1 second. One so that's called... That's the Gemara says that person is called a hedyot.
And that's a bad thing. I know who you're talking about. Those people do that.
Okay.
Where do they get that?
I don't know. Love of the mitzvah. They love the mitzvah.
What if I hear the word hedyot? Like, I can't...
It's not a positive thing.
I can't not think idiot when I hear the word hedyot.
Yeah.
Like, the Gemara's calling them an idiot.
I don't want to say idiot's kind of harsh, but it's not a positive term. It's simple. I would say simple or
simpleton.
Like I said, when you talk about a Kohen Hedyot, that's not a shtach. It's not a put down. He's just their stama person, right? But over here, it's more negative. It is more negative over here.
So we have like a thing. It says yachol in the Ran. It says yachol lahachmer alatzmo.
Yeah, that's the Gemara's language.
So yachol lahachmer, is that like a different category now than?
It's not required. It's not required al pidin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a chumrah. You want to be machmer? You can be machmer, and it's not yura.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the way the Gemara presents that is, it's not machmer. I'm sorry, it's machmer, and it's not yura. The way the Ran says it, it's machmer and not hedyot.
Fine.
The question is, why is Iran using that term? Why don't you just use what the Gemara's term was? Why don't you just say you were wrong? Okay, so I'm going to try to explain that.
There is a difference.
It would seem that way. The way we commonly relate to these two terms is that we commonly relate to them as being different things. Right? You were is arrogance, and hedyotos is just being misguided. I wouldn't say they're opposites, but we generally assume they're different things. Yeah, Zach, can I say something?
Yeah, the thing about hedyot is that you can do that, there's nothing wrong if you really enjoy being in the rain. They're not gonna say, if it's not certain, are they? I mean you can do that if you want, you're just not being mekayem any mitzvah at all. But if you really really enjoy being in the sukkah and that makes you happy, then go for it. Like, you're not gonna say
okay, so hold that thought. That's exactly what I want. He's asking, when in the case where a person would sit in the rain and we would call him a hedyot, does that mean therefore he's not allowed to do it? Or just we're saying, you're not really doing anything, right? That's the question. Is it when we tell this guy, you're a hedyot, you're doing something that's not required, is it just that? Is it neutral, just you're not accomplishing anything, but you're not doing anything bad?
Yuhara sounds negative.
Yuhara sounds negative. Exactly. So
they're just being zealous.
The
hedyot.
Okay. Take a look now at the Gemara and Brachos. If you have the Brachos handy, let's take a look at this Gemara and Brachos. I was fearful this might happen. Like I said, there's a little bit of a shasug, but it's too hard to pass up. It's an important thing. We're not going to spend a week on it, but maybe just in the next couple of days, just a little bit, try to get a little bit of a flavor for it. Okay, because there's another Gemara and Bavakama and a Marshal there that I think is kedai to do. As long as we're touching on it, it's kedai to at least do that. So maybe one more day. It's kedai for, yes. What's that?
What does yuhara mean literally?
Yuhara. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara in Brachos over here. It's the Mishnah. We're now looking at the Mishnah in Masachas Brachos in the second parak on Tes Zayin and Beis. Yeah, we're not going to do the whole Mishnah. If you did the whole Mishnah, then Shkayach. But we're just going to do the last part of the Mishnah, Chasam. Chasam. Gil, you want to read? So again, it's Tez Zayin and Beis of the Mishnah. The last couple of lines, Chasan Imrotze.
Chasan Imrotze Likros Kriyat Shema, Laila Rishon, if he wants to read Kriyat Shema the first day after his wedding, first night after his wedding.
Right, even though he's technically Potter.
Yeah. Korah, he can do it.
Good.
Rabban, continue?
Yeah, please.
Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Lo Kol Harotze Liko Et Hashem Yechol.
What does that mean? That's a fancy way of saying what?
Not everyone that wants to can do this.
Meaning what? Meaning the chasm should not do this. Yeah. I mean, the chasm's potter, that's it. He's potter. You don't just tell a guy, listen, whenever you want to say Shema, whenever you want to invoke the same Hashem, and you want to tell us how you feel about God and Yichud Hashem, you could do it. No. It's not so.
Who's the one that says Korah?
The Rabbanim. We'll call them Rabbanim. The unqualified sheet over here in the Mishnah. Uh-huh. Tanakam or Rabbanim, right? So the Gemara asks on this. The Gemara now proceeds to ask on this on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So if you turn one folio, one page, one daf, and you look at Yud Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots, roughly in the middle of the printed lines before the next parak, you see it? Chosan and Rotza? Everyone sees it who wants to see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saying that if we really didn't want to see it, we could try hard enough not to see it.
I'm saying if you don't want to see it, then you won't say, I want to know where it is, and I won't bother you. You know, I won't waste my time pointing it out to you. Chasan Amrotze.
Yeah.
Yitzayim and Beis. Yeah? You only have a question?
Nope. We're good.
Okay.
Should
you? You should.
All right. Chasan Amrotze Likro. Lameimra Derabam Shimon Ben Gamliel Chayash Le Yura. He is... Sensitive to Yura,
right.
He suspects Yura.
He's concerned about it. And the implication is, the more I'm saying, the implication is that Rabban Shimon Gamliel is concerned about Yura, and Rabbanon.
Rabbanon lo chayash leYura.
Stop. Good.
Reading Kriya Shema the night after.
Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara is saying like this. I look at this Mishnah, and the Mishnah seems to basically be presenting a machlokas between Rabban Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon as to whether or not we're concerned in general with the notion of Yuhara. Why? Because the Rabbanon said, you want to say Shema? No problem. Rabban Shimon Gamliel, I'm sorry, the other way around, right? Forget myself. No, the Rabbanon said, yeah, you could say. Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, no, it's not so poshut. Not everyone who wants to be Litol Sashem could do that. So the Gemara said, oh, so it looks like Rabban Shimon Gamliel is worried about Yuhara. And that's why he says not everyone who wants to be Litol Sashem could do that. Whereas the Rabbanon said, you want to do it, knock yourself out, no problem. Mm-hmm. Wrote to, what's the matter?
I just don't want the same thing to happen to this that happened to me.
What was that?
Friday, GPU.
Oh, why would that happen?
No, they had the pieces underneath that what's it called?
The feet?
Because this is where the heat's coming from. That's why.
So you leave as much airspace as possible underneath.
Can you still see me?
Don't get seasick over there, Zach.
Can you still see me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Okay. So that's the Gemara's question now. Now, why is that a question? Because the Gemara says, because we learned elsewhere something that seems the reverse. Right? We learned elsewhere that the Shitas seem to line up differently on this issue of Merci Kiyura or Yuhura. All right, how so? Gil, if you will.
Yeah, so...
Vaha...
Ifcha
shamin en
lahu.
So,
ifcha is what? Opposite?
Opposite, yeah. Ifcha, the reverse. Lehefech.
Yeah, yeah.
So we saw elsewhere, shamin en lahu, the reverse. We saw the Yeshitas differently.
Where? Oh.
He didn't tell us yet. Yeah.
Makom shenahu lasot melacha betisha bav osin. Makom shenahu shelo lasot ein osin.
What does that mean?
Any place where people don't do malacha on Tisha B'Av, you don't do.
Good.
Any place where people do malacha on Tisha B'Av, you do.
Good.
And any place of Talmidei Chachamim, you become lazy at the
tail? No. Talmidei Chachamim should not, they should be bottled from malacha. They shouldn't do malacha.
Uh-huh.
Wherever they are, they shouldn't do malacha. If they're in a place where they do, or a place where they don't, they should be just bottled from malacha.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I don't bottle, not lazy.
They should refrain. In this case, they should not do malacha. They should refrain from doing malacha. Okay, so far. What's that? Okay, so what's the problem? Keep going now.
Yeah, so.
Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Stop.
Yeah, so what? Should always make himself.
When it comes to this, he should study his Talmud Chacham.
Kit
Talmud Chacham. Right, yes. Exactly. So what does that mean? Exactly. What is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel saying, basically? What?
Nobody.
No one should do malacha. You should treat yourself like a Talmud Chacham in this regard. You should take the approach of the Talmud Chacham and say, I'm not doing malacha. Okay, so what's the problem?
And when do you, like, who does it?
This is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av. Okay, so you don't do malacha. That's proper.
What was the first part that it was?
First Shita held that in a place where you don't do malacha. A place where you do malacha. Right? And the Talmud Chacham shouldn't do malacha anymore.
Then who would do malacha? Meaning it said in the place where you do malacha, do malacha.
Let's say the minigam makam is that we don't do malacha today. It's like Shabbos. If it's like Shabbos, yontif, and you don't say who's doing malacha. So, but this is a minig. In some towns, in some locations, in some locales, they said, we're not going to do malacha on Tisha B'Av.
But then there were some that say...
In other places, they said, no, it's not. There's no issur malacha today. We're going to do malacha.
So, who would do that?
So, if you live in a place where the minig is not to do malacha, then you shouldn't do malacha.
Okay.
If you live in a place where the minig is to do malacha, you may do malacha. But the Rabbanan said, if you're Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't do malacha. You should not do malacha.
And everyone should act
as no, a that's Ad Kan. That's Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes along and says, no, everyone should always treat themselves like a Talmud Chacham when it comes to this halacha. Two different opinions. So even if you're living in a place where everyone else is doing malacha, you should say, no, ich bin a Talmud Chacham. I'm not doing any malacha today. So the Gemara says, Kasha. What's the Kasha? What's the Kasha?
You are.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Are you trying to say that you're better? Yeah. Before, you told me Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the one that was Choshish for Yura. And he said, not everyone who wants to be no Talas Hashem could do so.
Oh, no, but everyone should be striving.
But everyone should be saying that I'm a Talmud Chacham when it comes to doing Malach on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. Yeah, I would love to repeat the Kasha. The Gemara is lining up two cases. The one in our Mishnah over here, and the one dealing with Malacha on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says the implication of our Mishnah over here is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is very concerned about Yehuda. And that's why he warned the Chassan, no, not everyone who wants to be Notos Hashem could do that. If you're a potter from Kriyashma, because it's you're a Chassan, not so simple that you're allowed to say Shema. Right? To do that would be inappropriate. So the Gemara says, oh, you see there, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is Choshish for Yehuda. Right? Like we mentioned yesterday, if a guy will say, oh, the rest of the Chassanim, they can't say Shema, but I could say Shema. That's Yura.
I mean, it's different over here.
One second. But in the case of Avoda, rather Malacha, on Tisha B'Av, the same Rav Shimon Gamliel says that every person should make himself out to be like a Talmud Chacham. He should hold himself out like a Talmud Chacham and not do Malacha.
So how are we defining Yura?
We didn't do it yet.
Okay.
We didn't do it yet. We're trying to get there.
Okay.
We didn't say religious arrogance?
Yeah, loosely translated, we're saying it's a form of arrogance in the realm of religious practice, but I'd like to try to get a better, better understanding. We're not there yet. Yeah,
they say they're different. I don't see the comparison in the cases because, in one.
You're saying the cases are not comparable?
Yeah. They don't seem to be comparable.
Why not?
Because in the first one, by the Chassan, he's specifically occupied with something else, and we don't think that he'll necessarily be able to do the mitzvah.
Okay, and therefore what?
That's different than here, where it's not that if the guy doesn't do malacha, it's at the detriment of something else.
No, but you have to show me where the yuhura is and where it's not. That, I mean, that's really the issue. Why is it yuhura if I say Shema? you're saying it's your effort if I say Shema, because there's a, you're saying I really have, I'm better. Like we mentioned, that's what we mentioned yesterday, like the Rav's idea, that I'm better than everyone else. All Chassanim, they can't say Shema. They can't say Shema because they can't have Kavanah. I can have Kavanah.
Right. This is different, though, than just saying, well, I'm not going to do Malacha. But,
no, that's saying, not I'm, not doing it, I'm not doing Malacha because Talmidei Chacham don't do Malacha. So why is that Yeruf? And now I'm sort of basically just aligning myself with a custom of Talmidei Chachamim. Everyone knows that Malacha is
Mutter.
And I'm asking you why. Everybody knows that Malacha is Mutter in this place. Everyone knows that Malacha is Mutter in this place, but the scholars don't do Malacha. So I'm going to say, I'm not doing Malacha. Why doesn't that look like I'm trying to show myself to be a scholar?
It's not that the scholars say Kriya Shema.
Malacha, I'm talking about Malacha.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not that the scholars, as in it's still a different case.
Okay, yeah.
I
hear what you're saying.
On the more individual level, I think, like with the scholars, it's that group of different individuals that have set a standard. But with the Yuhara, it's like one person out of the whole group saying, like, oh, I'm so much better than everyone else. But, so it's like, I don't know, when you say that there could be like a group of five people who demonstrate Yuhara, would that be a different type of thing? Because it sounds like Yuhara is on an individual.
In other words, what the Gemara is saying is these people have the right. The Talmidei Chacham have the right not to do Malacha.
Yeah.
But now the Rabbi Shimon Galil is instructing everybody to treat themselves like a Talmidei Chacham and say, I'm like those guys. I'm like those guys.
Yeah.
No, they could establish something and say this is for everybody, but when they say a certain practice is just for Talmidei Chachamim, and then someone comes along and says, "Oh, I'm going to be like a Talmidei Chacham," right?
So then in the Gemara it says that they said it was okay for them to do that.
Yeah, that was Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita. So the Gemara has two answers. Let's see the Gemara's answers. Why is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying in one case taking the name of Hashem, saying Shema is Yura, and fasting with all the Rav Talmidei Chachamim, that's not called Yura? Okay, but that wouldn't make it Yura. I mean, that's like, yeah, it's true. That's the reason why Shema might be different, like we saw yesterday, that the Rav said. It could be that Shema is different specifically because it involves Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim. But the Gemara gives a different answer. So let's see the Gemara's two answers. And then we'll hopefully get a little bit of a better understanding here when we see this Mordechai. What is Yuhara? That's really what we're after here.
I think
I'm listening. I'm with you.
What's the reason we're not doing Malacha?
It's obviously
personal philosophical thing, or is that like part of the mitzvah?
Well, it's obviously a keem in the day. It's a keem in the day, refraining from Malacha. This is the day we're supposed to be mourning the Chorban, and he's supposed to be focused on that and not doing Malacha.
So that's entirely different than the case we're talking about.
Okay.
I'm saying I don't even see how they're being compared. I don't need to work out how they're being contrasted. I don't even see how they compare to each other.
So what's the distinction?
One is a certain group.
If I tell you the minig is in this place that we do not refrain from doing Malacha. There's no communal practice not to do Malacha today. Just the Rabbanon are the ones that don't do this. Right?
Right.
Well, let me give you another example.
No, because with Kriya Shema, you're countering an idea that already exists that you shouldn't say.
Right. And here the idea is, so here the idea is that it's mutter. No, it's mutter. It's mutter. It's mutter to do Malacha. And the only two that don't do Malacha are scholars.
Yeah, but you're not necessarily violating anything by choosing to not do Malacha for that day.
What? It's not that you're violating, but you...
To try and be like a scholar or whatever it is.
Well, why isn't that Yura? You're not answering my question. You're just saying it's not a violation. But why isn't it a violation? Why doesn't it look like I'm being arrogant? That's the question.
Does he live in that community? I'm saying,
he lives in that community. He's 100% mutter to do malacha. His neighbor across the street doesn't do malacha because he's a Talmid Chacham. So you know what? He says, I'm going to not do malacha also.
But aren't we generally supposed to...
Everybody knows.
...to strive to be on the level of a Talmid Chacham?
Yeah.
Therefore,
but not by doing the external things that Talmid Chacham do. You got to be a Talmid Chacham. When you're Talmid Chacham, then okay, then you're Talmid Chacham. You'll know when you get there. You know, I don't know. I don't know exactly when it would become appropriate for you to not do it. You know, I guess, but someone tells you. I guess someone tells you.
On Tisha B'Av, he's trying to fill a kiyum in the dead.
Yeah, but this kiyum is only.
It's different than a Kriya Shema where he's not trying to fulfill a kiyum.
Yeah,
he's
good. No, he wants to say Shema.
He's
not obligated. He's not obligated to not do what Malacha today.
Should.
But why are you saying that? What do you mean he could if he should? I can say the same about the Shema. He could if he should. Listen, obviously there's a resolution because the Gemara gives a resolution, but I'm just trying to show you that the question is not a foolish question. Yes.
Because by Shema, he's saying basically, what he's saying by saying Shema is that he has enough, I guess, Kavanah to do it. So if he's wrong, he's like, if he doesn't have enough kavana, he's violating something. Like, he's not allowed to say it, right?
Okay.
So that would mean that he's actually over something if he's wrong.
You want to say it's Yuhura because he's basically telling Chazal, you thought that the average person wasn't fit to say Shema under these circumstances, but I am.
Right,
I'm super,
case,
I'm extraordinary. No,
he's
not.
Not really you, Rob, because he's just doing something.
But he's holding himself out to be different than the rest of the people. The rest of the people, for them, it's okay to do malacha. But for me, I'm not like the rest of the people. Why is that different?
But in addition, he violates something if he says Shema.
But that doesn't make it Yuhura. I don't think that's what makes it Yuhura.
Right.
You're right. He might have a tangential problem.
Would you consider it like what we had in what the Gemara said before, Machmir?
Yeah, these are chumras, but these are chumras that would potentially be yuhara. Some chumras are chumras that are not subject to yuhara, and some chumras are problems of yuhara.
So we're trying to find out what sets this one.
Exactly. So the Gemara gives an answer. Let's see. The Gemara gives two answers. The first answer I would say is more of a technical answer. I don't want to call it a Baal Batish answer, but the Gemara gives a technical answer. It's not going to be very satisfying. What's the first answer in the Gemara? Back in the Gemara. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it could be the Kasha. I apologize. Kasha the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan seems to be in contradiction to the other sheet. The other time the sheet of the Rabbanan is mentioned.
Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan.
Mukhlefas Hashita.
Mukhlefas Hashita.
What does that mean? Yeah, in other words, it's not a problem. Just the names are lined up wrong. When the teaching was reported, the names were misattributed. Really, Reb Shimon Gamliel lines up with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and the Rabbanan lines up with the Rabbanan Gamliel, and all is well with the world. Mechlefas Hashita. You have that from time to time. The Gemara says, "Listen, we just got it wrong in the reporting."
What's the problem? I don't exactly understand.
The stira.
Yeah.
Because in one case, Reb Shimon Gamliel seems to be saying, "I'm worried about Yuhura." In the other case, the Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to be okay with what appears to be Yuhura.
Okay,
so the Gemara says, no, that's not really Rav Shimon Gamliel who said it's okay. It's really the Rabbanan.
Oh,
it's really the Rabbanan. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one that was consistent. He's Machmir in both cases.
Okay.
And the Rabbanan and Machmir are Mekel in both cases.
That we wouldn't be able to figure out.
You wouldn't be able to figure that out. That's not it's not a logical thing. It's just a factual thing. It's Mechlefas Hashita. But then there's another answer. What's the other answer?
Rav Shisha Beria Derav Edi.
Rav Shisha Bray Derav Edi.
Bray Derav Edi. Amar Le'olam
Lo Tachlef.
Lo Tachlef.
Don't know. You don't have to get involved in Mechlefas Hashita. You don't have to say that.
Yeah.
Elomai, what are you going to say? You have to give me a different answer. So what's his answer? Say like this.
Derabanan Adrabanan Lo Kasha.
Derabanan Adrabanan is not a Kasha. There's no steer in the Shita Derabanan. Why not?
Kriya Shema. Kevan De Kule Alma. Everyone says that you can read it, right?
Since at the time of Kriya Shema, what's going on? Everyone around you saying Shema.
Oh, that's what's saying when Kule Alma?
Kule Alma, everyone's saying Shema.
Oh, I thought Kule Alma was all opinions.
No, sometimes it does mean that. In this case, it means everyone's saying Shema. Comes time for Maariv, you're in the base Medrash, you daven on and you daven in bells. There's 1,000 people there, 2,000 people there. You happen to be a chassam, but everyone else around you saying Shema. So it doesn't look like you're doing anything different. You're not doing anything that makes yourself stick out. Ooh, look at me, I'm saying Shema. What's that?
I know I'm Potter.
Okay, 1 second. But that's what he's saying. It's not Yura. It's not Yura because apparently what the Gemara is saying is in order to be Yura, it has to be Nicker, what you're doing. In order to be Yura, it has to be what you're doing has to be apparent as something different. It has to stand out. It has to stand out. When you as an individual are doing something that's sort of in the face of everyone else, then it's Yura. But here, what are you doing? It's true, in reality, you might be Potter. In reality, you might be Potter. But I could still say that's not Yura, according to the Rabbanan. Yeah, please. So, and he's also reading. They're all reading, and he's also reading.
Yeah, and it's not going to appear as Yura.
That's right. So, but you see an important yisod over here from the Gemara in terms of what is Yura. If it's not appreciable by others, then it could very well not be called Yura. It's not just a pride. Well, we have to see about that because there are other Makoros which seem to suggest that Yura could even be in private, right? Even a private practice that's not appreciable. But from this Gemara right now, what the Gemara is saying is, when I'm saying Shema, I'm sort of subsumed within the Tzibur. Everyone's saying Shema, so no one's going to say, hey, look at this guy, he thinks he's such a Baal Kavana, even when he's Potter, he's saying Shema. What kind of business is this? Therefore, since he won't stand out, there is no Yura. That's answer number one for Rabbanan versus Rabbanan. What about the other case? Yeah.
Doesn't that show why they're the same?
It shows why it's not a stira. Yeah. Not a stira.
So it's saying that that's not Yura?
That's not Yura.
But I think you said that that is.
No, since no one sees you doing something different,
it's
not Yura, yeah.
Oh, so it turns out it's not Yura.
That's not Yura. Right.
So we're reinterpreting the discussion in Sukkah about Shema.
Oh, 1 second, we're not up to Sukkah yet. I mean, this is where the Sukkah starts.
But isn't that where they were just talking about Shema?
Yeah.
Right?
But I'm saying this is the Gemara in Sukkah quotes. The Gemara in Sukkah quotes this.
Okay.
All right? Well, I mean, it doesn't really, not the Gemara, but Gemara in Sukkah, yes. The Gemara in Sukkah quotes this discussion. All right? So what about Sazer Rabban? The Rabban is not Akasha. Why? Because everyone's saying Shema, and therefore it's not a problem. All right. What about Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Rabban Shimon Gamliel. In one place, Rabban Shimon Gamliel seems to be saying that there is Yura. In the other place, he seems to be saying there is not Yura. So what's the problem? How do we resolve that? Yeah, in a place where everyone's doing malacha, and he's refraining from malacha, then what? That stands out. It stands out. It stands out as being something different.
And it appears as Yura.
So then it's Yura. What do you mean? Everyone around you is doing malacha, and you're saying, I'm not going to do malacha? And that's Yura. Not like the Shema case. Okay? Well, I'm sorry. I think I may have misled you before. So the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Lokasha. Why? Because in case of Shema, it is a problem. Why? Because in one case, I'm sorry, in case of Shema, it's not a problem because no one could appreciate it. In the case of Malacha, it stands out. So therefore, within the Rabbanan, all is well and good.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying I made a statement previously that may have been misleading. What about Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Go ahead. Lo kasha. Also not a kasha. We can resolve Rav Shimon Gamliel also. Awesome.
Lo kasha. Awesome. The kavana talia milsa.
So here's what you were, I think, getting at, Chaim.
Your intention.
In the case of the Shema, what's the whole issue by the Shema? The kavana. The whole reason why I tell you Potter from Kriya Shema is because you can't have kavana. So what are you saying as a chasam when you tell me you're going to say Shema anyway?
The kavana talia is dependent on kavana.
The anan sahadi lo matzi lechavne. Daite.
Oh, yeah.
So if you'll say the Shema, that looks like you're saying you could have Kavana. It's all about Kavana. So if you'll take upon yourself to say the Shema, you're basically making a statement that you could have Kavana. That is the Yuhura.
What's Sahadi?
Anan Sahadi, like we posit. It's an umdana of sorts. Anan Sahadi is we give testimony. Okay. It really means we bear witness to this fact. But it basically means it's a given. Anan Sahadi or Sahadi, that this is the way it is. So Anan Sahadi, we could testify to the fact. It's a given. He can't really have kavana. So now if this guy comes forward and says, I don't care about your Anan Sahadi, I could say the Shema, that's Yura. There's the mere fact that he's saying that he's coming forward to reject the Anan Sahadi, that's Yura.
According
to Moshe Gamliel, that would be Yura.
If he can't have Kavana...
Since we say that the Chassan can't have Kavana, that's why we must say, no, lo kol harotzu li tos Hashem yito. Can't be.
Does this negate the answer that we gave before of...
Mechlef HaShita? Yeah, this is a different answer.
Not Mechlef HaShita, the one that...
You mean within the Rabbanon?
It's not
Nicker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like there might be a bit of machlokas here between the Rabbanon and Rosh Hashanah, how to define
Yura,
because according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it doesn't matter that it's not Nicker. It doesn't matter that it's not Nicker.
He's saying you're still uprooting a basic...
You're telling the Chazal they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to you. You're saying you're smarter than the Takana and the Chacham. The Chacham, you were speaking about average people. The average people couldn't have Kavana, but me? I could have Kavana. So that's it. That is, it doesn't matter if it's Nicker or not Nicker. The mere fact that you're doing it is a violation of Yura. But what about when it comes to malacha?
Aval hacha, wait. Oh yeah, here hacha haroe omer malacha hu ein hu
the ein lo. So over here, when he's doing what he's doing, it doesn't even in terms of the mice. I mean, I'd like to define this a little bit more. I'm just trying to get through the pshat for the moment, but when they look at him doing malacha on Tisha B'Av, what are they going to say? Maybe he has no malacha. Maybe the reason why he's not doing malacha is because he has nothing to do. Like the Gemara says, "Pukhazi kama batloni ika b'shuka." Look how many people, loafers or however you want to translate batloni, look how many people are sitting around doing nothing. I'm always amazed by that, by the way. Sometimes I have occasion to be out of my normal routine in the middle of the day, and there's hundreds of people walking around literally doing nothing. It's mind-boggling.
They're not shopping? No, they're shopping, right?
Even if they're shopping, midnight. There's thousands of people taking pictures of the billboards.
Well, they're tourists, but yeah.
I understand, but that's my...
Don't you have something more... He's saying, yeah. Don't you have something more important to
do? I just always find it remarkable.
Out of the city of a million...
I understand. No, but I think that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, it's, at any point, you go out into the shuk, there are going to be people that have nothing better to do than just to be there.
Yeah.
There's always batlonim there. So, since there's always batlonim, no one's going to have to look at what I'm doing and say... Oh, he's refraining from malacha. Now, it doesn't have the appearance of refraining. Why? Because maybe I just have nothing better to do. Who says I have something to do and I'm not doing it? Now, it's my activity, my passivity does not rise to the level of an action because it doesn't need to be attributed to refraining from malacha. Right? Sometimes, like not eating on Yom Kippur is a positive act because I normally eat. But not doing malacha on Tisha B'Av doesn't necessarily mean that I'm refraining from malacha. Maybe I just have nothing to do. Right? Who says that I have a whole list of things waiting for me and I'm just not doing it because I want to make myself a Talmid Chacham? My actions don't necessarily rise to the level of, or my inactions don't rise to the level of an action because of what else goes on around me. Kama batloni ika b'shuka. So since that's the case, there's no problem of Yuhura. But in the case of the Shema, the mere fact that I'm saying the Shema, that's an act of being no tel as Hashem. I am being no tel as Hashem, you can't deny that. So that's it. That is the Yuhura. The yuhara is that Chazal said, don't be no tells Hashem, because you can't have kavana. You're doing it? That's yuhara. Now I'm not doing malacha? Yeah, but not doing malacha, it doesn't have the tzura of a maisa. It doesn't have the tzura of a maisa because everyone else around me is also being mevatel in malacha. You're correct, Chaim, in acknowledging that there's a difference between Shema and malacha. This is what you were saying, essentially. That the reason why you're not allowed to say Shema is sort of inherent. You can't say Shema because saying Shema is an inherent violation of Yura. But malacha is not quite the same. We couldn't put our finger on it, right? But over here, what the Gemara is saying is that the reason why not doing malacha is not necessarily violative of Yura because it's not necessarily an act. It doesn't have to have the tzura of an act. It doesn't have to be called an act. And I'd like to take this a little further. But just before we have to stop, I just want to take a quick look at the Mordechai. Let's get it out on the table, and maybe tomorrow we'll take it one step further. The Mordechai on this Gemara, in Brachos, just quickly, if you don't mind. Just so we can get it into the record, and everyone can look at it again tomorrow. The Mordechai is at the end of Siman Aleph. At the end of Siman Aleph in first parak, the Mordechai is not where it usually is in the printed Gemaras, because you have all of Zeroyim stuck in here. Yeah.
Rabbeinu Asher.
No, not Rabbeinu Asher. The Mordechai. At the top of the page, it should just say Mordechai. Bear with me. You've got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the very beginning, the first simon.
Before or after the Marsha?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's usually at the very end.
It's right after this Gemara. It's right after the Rambam.
It's usually right near the Tosafta. It's usually towards the very end of the printed Gemara. But because we have all this other material here, it's not in the usual
right
place.
Before or after the Rambam?
It's this one's right after the Rambam. Got it. I believe this is
the
Rambam. Yeah, it's what you.
Yeah, there's no Ran here. It's Rabbeinu Yonah.
No, Rabbeinu. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It looks like the
run. Yeah, it looks like the run. Okay, so here it's after the run. Actually, it's not in the wrong place. It's usually right before the Tosafta. I take back what I said before. It's usually near the Tosafta, and that's where it is over here.
Let the record show.
So someone want to just read it. It's the last couple of lines here at the end of Siman Aleph.
Siman is paragraph.
Section. It's the very first Mordechai.
Me'imatai,
yeah.
Which I read from.
So, start from V'kaimelon. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up before Siman Beis. V'kaimelon. Four words in? You got that?
Before Siman Beis?
Before Siman Beis, about 4 lines up. V'kaimelon. Or Kaimelon. V'gam Kaimelon? There's a superscript gimel over there.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Amar Reish Perek.
Yeah, the Amar Reish Perek Tfilas HaShachar. At the beginning of Tfilas HaShachar.
The Plag HaMincha.
So Rabbi Yehuda holds that from Plag HaMincha ve'elech, from Plag HaMincha and on.
Lelech.
It's night time.
V'hushah.
V'reviyah.
Kodem Tzeis HaKochavim.
So in the Gemara, at the beginning of Tfilas HaShachar, Rabbi Yehuda is on record as having said that from Plag HaMenchan on, it's nighttime, and one can daven Mayrin. Right? From Plag HaMenchan, which is an hour and a quarter, halachic hour and a quarter, before Tzeis HaKochavim, that one could begin to daven Tzeis. One could begin to say Tfilas Arvis. It's nighttime, halachically nighttime. Okay? V'Rav Yochasav.
Nearly, Iker Divrei Rabbeinu Tam, Kasav Ma'arichim Likro Kriyat Shema
Le'Pala. No, I'm sorry. I think it's Rav Yah Kasav. Nearly, Iker Divrei Rabbeinu Tam.
The Kasav Ha'achronim Likro Kriyat Shema Le'Pala Belayla. Mexik Yura Shekoha Oset Davar She'ina Tzarif Nikra Hedges. Elam Kain Ha.
So he says. I think. If you're makbid to wait till later to daven, as you won't daven Myra before tzeis. If you don't daven Myra before tzeis, It's mexikiyura. It looks like you're being an arrogant person. You daven a shul, they daven right after, I don't know, daven right after shkia maybe, or some other time, but it's before it's ace. And you're makbid, you stand by and don't daven, or you, I don't know, you leave. Well, leaving probably is not the same, but if let's say you stand around and you dafka not davening. I'm being overly dramatic here, obviously. But let's say you do that. That's mexikiyura. Why? And here's the key. This language will help us with the Ram.
Shkol ose davar she'ino tzarech nikra hejet. Ellen McCain,
hirgol b'precious.
B'precious dam mishard.
You see that? The Rav Yah brings in both of these terms together. Rav Yah says, it's mexikiyura. Why is it mexikiyura? Oh, because kol ha'osa davar she'ena tzarech nikra hedya. And therefore it's mexikiyura. So that's why the Ran, instead of using the term mexikiyura, used that phrase. Kol ha'pater midavar oseo nikra hedya. Why? Because apparently there is an approach among some Rishonim to not conflate the two, but to associate the two. So Blina tomorrow will pick up with this idea. We'll try to explain what exactly the association is between being a hedyot when you're doing something that you pater from and being in violation of mexikiyura. Okay?
Excellent. Have a good one.
You too. We'll see you tomorrow?
Yeah.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Oh.